This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. About to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DAHLI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. It's Friday. People love Friday. Like, woo, Friday. See, me, I've always worked on the weekend. So people say, oh, yeah, that's my Friday. It's my Friday just means I work tomorrow. And then, you know, and then I have to get my roots done. And I love my hairdresser, but I don't like getting my hair done. I don't like doing chores. So I got work to do. So I don't really get as excited about Friday because I love being on air. And I actually kind of get sad that I don't get to do my, do my radio show on the weekends like I want to. But that's okay. That's okay. But how happy are you guys? I mean, what is happiness? There's this report, World Happiness Report 2021, and they look at which countries are the most happy, and Finland has retained its title as the world's happiest nation for the fourth time in a row. Really? The United States didn't make the top five? The Nordic country Finland has defended its position, they say, is the World Happiness Report 2021 that was published today, it was published today by the United Nations Sustainable Development. And they say Iceland, Denmark also made top spots, Switzerland, Holland, Sweden, Germany, Norway, New Zealand, and Austria are also in the top 10. That's pretty impressive. Let me see where America is. I see the happiness report. Read the report. Well, where's the list of the states? I don't know. If it's going to be like a long, I just want the list. Anyway, they make you do this. They make you, All right. Hold on a second here. Let me see. United States, I think, came in 9. I have to count. See the make us count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh, maybe we made the top 10. All right, so we are in the happy nations. That's exciting. The UK dropped 5 places to number 18 because of a decline of mental health during COVID. Finland's death rate from COVID was the lowest in the EU, and the country scored high on happiness because of freedom, healthy lifestyles, and social solidarity. I don't know how much Americans feel they have freedom, healthy lifestyles, and social solidarity. New Zealand was in the top 10. Again, very virus-related, it looks like, because they were pretty successful. But as the UK had a lot of issues and lockdowns, they seemed to scroll lower. With America, it was an election year, so I really don't see how we're going to... We never are happy. Nobody's ever happy with an election outcome. Or just people going through an election. Even when I saw people who were happy with the election result on social media said, I don't feel like I can celebrate yet. It was a very, very unrestful time. We didn't know what the heck happened with the election, and it just was unrestful. But Finland's pretty happy. They did think the year stunk. They called it a lamentable year. But they did have, quote-unquote, mutual trust to combat COVID-19. So, Israel, Australia, Ireland, U.S., Canada, also in the top 10. The U.S. actually climbed 2 places. That's interesting. The U.S. actually climbed 2 places despite everything that's going on. But Great Britain dropped. And this happiness idea, people are like, okay, why do we care about happiness? We got to worry about the heart. We got to worry about, money, finances. The thing is happiness is a part of that. When you're happy, do you say, I'm going to stay home? No, when you're happy, I'm going out. A bunch of students, we're going to talk about this, today, got a job. And I'm like, all right, let's go out. I mean, it's, you're excited. You, when you're excited, you want to enjoy life. You want to embrace the world. You want to run around out in the grass and you want to hug people and you want to be social. It's really hard to be happy at home. And the emotions that we have and the reliance on being able to socialize and being able to spend money and being able to have money to spend, it's all interconnected. So, you know, I would have a health scare, and then I would get so scared, you know, that I have cancer. I'd find out the test was negative. What did I do? Did I want to sit home and watch TV? No. I'm like, I want to get out there. I got a second chance on life. And so there are ways to do that without having money. You could go out there and enjoy the parks, although in my neck of the woods, the parks were closed also. The national parks were closed during COVID. It was, I think the reason why the national parks closed, which didn't make sense to a lot of us because we were on lockdown, and we have this beautiful Red Rock Canyon, so we could do a lot of hiking and all that, is my guess is they didn't have enough government workers to staff it, and the government workers wanted to be on lockdown. And you know, because they didn't want to be exposed to the virus. So if they didn't have anybody that could manage it and make sure people weren't throwing bonfire parties and things like that, because you still need staff at these national parks, they decided to close them down. And, you know, because somebody then doesn't have to deal with the bathrooms and with the parking. And so it's, but it's a shame because even those of us on lockdown, we wanted to get outside. We wanted to, you know, embrace nature. So what is happiness? Is it money? Is it success? Is it family? Is it health? It's a lot. It's all of it. I remember being so happy when I was poor. It wasn't just the money, but I was happy because things, I was successful at things. I was successful at getting a date, or I was successful at making my friends feel better, or I was successful at getting an undergraduate degree. So I believe happiness is really based on you having successes. And those successes might rely on money, it might rely on education, it might rely on health, it might rely on the economy, might rely on your security, obviously, because if none of that is going your way, that's a problem. But what I recommend is for those of you that look at your life, especially this last year, and go, you know what, I haven't been that happy. All right? Well, then get some successes. You don't have to become CEO of a Fortune 500 company, but have goals and make those goals and be successful at those goals. Even if it's, you know, I'm going to lose 5 pounds, or I'm going to go out with a long-lost friend that I haven't seen. Those are the successes that really build up to your happiness. 1-877-DOCTOR-ELLIE, don't go away.
As a bald man, on a per follicle basis, haircuts usually aren't a great value to me. But at Supercuts, I can have an experienced stylist recommend a perfect cut for an affordable price, even if my options are limited. And while my hair-to-dollar ratio is good, yours is off the charts. Because Supercuts won't just cut your hair. They'll obsess over it until you look amazing, then finish with a hot towel refresher to top it all off. And from my personal bald perspective, that's what I call hair rich. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Back on Dr. Dolly's show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCADOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Jason who's working the dials. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dolly Show. And I really want to thank all of you guys who have been patients in training facilities, because the medical students, doctors in training were able to take care of you and learn at the same time. And we are so, so grateful for anybody that's been a patient that has allowed there to be a student shadow, whether they're pre-med, medical, resident, allow them to be a part of the team that takes care of you, because we are still training doctors and we need doctors. Now, many of you do not like your doctor. You don't like your physician. You don't like your medical provider. I hear some of you love your nurse practitioner. You love your PA. And maybe some of you love your physician, which would be fantastic. But that's not what I hear. having, I'm licensed in multiple states. And so when people call telemedicine, they're like, oh man, we love you guys because I don't like my doctor. I hate my doctor. I hate my doctor. What? Why is that? Why do we have so many people saying they hate their doctor? Well, I haven't done a study on that yet. We do have a study that's going to be published on how people rate their physicians and why they rate them higher. That's going to be in the Journal of Patient Experience, and we'll let you guys know when it's published. We're working on that now. They're proofreading and things like that. I tried not to have a lot of typos, but the students wrote most of it, so they made sure it was good. I just did a lot of the data collecting. But so I haven't done a study on why people, quote unquote, hate their doctor, but I think one issue is many of these doctors are older. Some of the doctors are a little bit more cocky. They're like, this is the way it is. Hey, you listen to me, this is the way, you know, so shall it be written, so shall it be done. You have doctors who are older. Some doctors are burnt out. You have some doctors who are like, no, you know what? No, you're not going to get the narcotic. You're not going to get the antibiotic. You're not going to, look, I'm not a Pez dispenser. And some patients are like, all I did was say hi. Who were your patients earlier? What's going on? And so a lot of the older doctors that are out there, they trained a little differently. So many of the older doctors, they were trained by attendings. I'm not sure if the attendings have changed, but the doctors I trained under, and even those before me, they were pretty narcissistic. They were pretty egocentric. They were, look, you do as I say. Some doctors allowed me to ask the why. I'm like, so why? Why? But many of them, they were like, that's just the way it is. And so when you're trained with the look, this is the way the medicine is. Hey, you know, we have a hepatitis A, a hepatitis B, and a non-A, non-B hepatitis. Excuse me, why are we calling it hepatitis C? I don't know. That's just the way it is. That virus is called hepatitis C, okay? Even though there's also other non-A's and non-B's. But the older, you know, you had less medicine. Medicine didn't evolve as quickly as it does now. And so the doctors were different, and the way they speak to patients were different. When I was being trained, there was a big emphasis on making sure people weren't in pain. Apparently, the aloofness, the lack of empathy was such an issue, and doctors were getting sued. And in fact, I saw a medical legal report saying it's malpractice if a doctor doesn't manage your pain. That by the time I was in training, they were like, look, you need to address pain. These people are relying on you. You're the only one that can get them their pain medication. So they're relying on you. So on one side, I was being told, don't let people get addicted to pain. But on the other, I was told, you can lose your license. You can lose everything if you don't manage a person's pain correctly. It was overwhelming for me, so I found a pain specialist early on that I could partner with, who I could refer to, because it was, you know, trying to do the gynecology and taking care of the kids and taking care of grandma and the family combined, and also doing more urgent care in my practice. I just couldn't do chronic pain management. So my generation of doctors started to evolve a little bit more where, you know, customer service, you're going to be rated online. You know, you're going to have to make sure they like you. But then things changed where doctors were getting faulted for narcotic prescription. They were getting faulted for writing too many antibiotics. So I was the first generation where I had to tell patients, I know you got this last time, but no, we can't do that. And I was also the first generation of doctors where people started to look at them differently as, well, this is what I want. And so many of us were like, no, I'm not a Pez dispenser. This isn't a McDonald's. Okay, well, I want a Z-Pack and fries. I get that. So the new generation of doctors, and you're going to hear a lot of them go, woohoo, yeehaw, you know, doing the dance. And so we had a lot of very, very happy students today, because today was the match. And I think there were 33,000 positions available. The NRMP has given us data, and I haven't been able to comb through it yet. But the major matching program, it's called the match, it's a trademark term, happens where the students put in where they want to work after medical school. They go through their undergrad, then they go through their 4 years of medical school or osteopathic school, and then they have to find a residency. There's the internship, which is year one, and then the residency, which can encompass year one, or sometimes it's additional to that. And some residencies are only 3 years. Some could be 7, 8 years, even more. And once you're a resident, you make a bake. No, you don't make a bake. You make a paycheck. You average what? Minimum wage at most? I don't know. It's not, I was averaging like $1.50 an hour. So I don't even think minimum wage even counted. But they get better wages now, but still not a lot of money. But they basically work multiple hours a day, a week, a year, and they train. And today was the day where they find out where they get to work. All right? So you're going to see many of them happy, and they're like all excited. And I got to tell you guys, you know, I cannot wait for these people to graduate, because I would have any one of my prior students be my physician. Any one of them. And it's not because I have that control where I could be like, okay, you look, you know, sorry, I was your professor. You're my baby doctor. Right? You listen to mama. It's not that. It's they know their medicine. And their approach is much different than the approach I had when I was a student. The medicine now is, there's so much more to learn. And, you know, I talk about my path as an MD. It was difficult. It was difficult. But I don't know if I could do what my students and these students have done now, because there's so much more pathology. There's so many more reasons. You know, when I went to school, a lot of things weren't still understood. You know, and so they could say that, well, we don't know why it works. It's idiopathic. We don't know why this happens. And so we use these terms, say, we don't know why it happens, but it happens. And so, great, I didn't have to memorize another two chapters. Yet now, here we are in 2021, and we have all this extra information. And these students have to learn all of it. They have to pass their boards. They have more boards than I had to. A lot of the DOs, they take both the STEP and the USMLE. So or the COMLEX. So they take more boards. They even had practical tests, and so that got canceled. So the new generation of doctors has to compete with a computer. And they also have to realize that they will lose the patient to a computer or to a telemedicine physician or to somebody else if they don't engage them, if they don't educate them, if they don't enlist them, if they don't do the three E's, and if they don't do it well. For me as a doctor, I knew I'd get a job. All I had to do was pass medical school. We used to say C equals MD. You know, because some of us would get a C on a test, and we never got C's in our life. We were always straight A students. Then we get to medical school, and we get a C. Or even a D. And we always said, look, D equals MD. You'll still get your MD. I know some of you patients are like, oh, I don't like that. That's not the same anymore. You need to ace medical school to get a good residency and to get a good position. So rather, you know, when I got out, I was going to get a job. There was no way I wasn't going to find a residency. Now, there's only, 33,000 positions, and there was, I think, 46,000 applicants. I need to double-check the data on that. So you do have to be competitive. So the new generation of doctors are very competitive. They have to be a lot more knowledgeable. They have to have interpersonal skills, communication skills. Even if there's not a board now testing that because of COVID, their schools have to provide curriculum that show how these people can react with, you know, to patients. Now, mind you, not all specialties need to have a very warm, huggy, smiley, bubbly personality. Pathology, you don't have to be very bubbly. But you do have to be able to work with people. You do have to be able to work as a team. You didn't need to have that sort of filtering earlier training. Now, when we interview a medical student, we look at you as, you know, are you a team player? Are you going to abuse people on your team? Are you going to talk down to nurses? Are you going to try to play rank? Or are you going to realize that every single person on the team is equal to you and necessary? And in fact, you better bow to their expertise, because there's going to be people on that team that know more than you. That's what the new generation knows. So rather than you going into a room and them being cocky, say, look, I'm the doctor, this new generation is, look, medicine is changing, and you might hear about something even before I do. So the open-mindedness, the well-readness, the always needing to be up on the latest is going to, I think, make the newest generation of doctors some of the best we've seen yet. So congratulations, class of 21. I love you guys. You guys crushed it. And I can't wait for any of you guys to be my doctor. 1-877-DOLLY. Don't go away.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100 and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need.
800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Biden and Vice President Harris are in Atlanta to promote the American Rescue Act and speak with Asian community leaders after 8 people were shot to death there. They're also visiting the CDC, where coronavirus guidelines for opening schools are being revised. Tensions were high at the first face-to-face meeting between Biden administration officials and Chinese representatives. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken said China's behavior threatens global stability.
The United States' relationship with China will be competitive where it should be, collaborative where it can be, adversarial where it must be.
Blinken's Chinese counterpart shot back, saying U.S. democracy is struggling and black Americans are being slaughtered. The State Department says private discussions that followed were substantive and serious. This is USA Radio News. The Department of Education has announced plans to roll back a Trump administration policy that granted only partial student loan relief to students that were defrauded by for-profit colleges. A senior education official said that the formula introduced by former Education Secretary Betsy DeVos was not granted an appropriate level of relief to borrowers. The department said it should eliminate about $1 billion in student loan debt relief from about 72,000 students. The Federal Reserve announced that it will not extend an emergency order given a year ago that eased the amount of capital banks were required to keep to counter potential economic hardships brought on by COVID-19. The Fed said it will allow the rule to expire at the end of March. Ordered in the early weeks of the crisis last year, the rule permitted U.S. banks to exclude treasuries and deposits with Fed banks from the calculation of its leverage ratios. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
All right, we are back on Dr. Dahlia's show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. So as you know, I work with a lot of students, and a big question on their mind is, what's going to happen to their student loan debt? Now, I borrowed money for medical school. I didn't have to borrow money for college. I got a scholarship full ride for the academic, but then to pay for, you know, my lab fees and books and food and living, I worked 3 part-time jobs during undergrad. So I didn't have to borrow anything for undergrad, but I did have to borrow for medical school. But because I went to a state school, it wasn't as expensive as what a lot of people, unfortunately, have. And some people are racking up so much debt. And the amount of debt is very overwhelming, especially for somebody that didn't get a job or didn't get to keep the job after they graduated. Now, I got my undergrad degree in biology. Why? Well, because to be a doctor, the number one degree that people would get is biology. I loved biology. Now, I loved animals and I loved plants because you took botany, you took comparative anatomy. And the main reason why I did an undergraduate degree in biology is because it handled most of the prerequisites. So go to medical school. You could be a Spanish education major. In fact, one of my colleagues in class majored in Spanish. You could major in the arts, but in order to get to medical school, you still had to take a bunch of science classes, organic chemistry, have all your maths, and there were all these prerequisites. So rather than do a degree and then on top of that take the extra prereq courses, I'm like, I might as well kill 2 birds with 1 stone. And because I had to take so much chemistry to get into medical school, I took just 1 more class so I could minor in chemistry. Now, if I didn't get into medical school, what would my biology degree and minor in chemistry do for me? Can't really do much with a master's in biology. If I didn't get into medical school, I would have probably applied for a master's program and just got a master's so I could maybe teach. Back then, you only needed a master's to teach. And then if they said, no, you need a PhD, I would have probably moved forward with that. But I wanted to be a doctor. I didn't want to be a biologist. And so there's a lot of people that want to be a doctor. And medical schools are now competitive. We don't have as many medical schools. Well, we have more students than we have medical school positions. So people going in for biology or for chemistry, they don't get in. They're going to either have to pursue their education or try to find a job having a bachelor's that in a field where they might be only looking for master's or PhDs. So I could see from the science standpoint how people are in trouble. Same thing with business. People are getting business degrees, 4-year business degrees, which is something I would recommend to everybody, because at some point you will run a business or need some sort of business savviness or business background, whether you take a job as a manager, whether you become an employer yourself, whether you decide to own a business, you're going to have a business background. So I would recommend going into business. But now with so many people having business degrees, how do you stand out? I've been asked, you know, how do I feel about free college? I think free college is nice, but what that does is now it changes the whole playing field to where before you had to have a high school diploma. If you didn't have a high school diploma, you were not getting a job. Well, everybody has a high school diploma. So now, 2021, if I said, look, but I have a high school diploma, well, that's great. Yeah, you can get a job, but they're like, okay, well, now we want college. So getting a college degree, more and more people were able to borrow money. More and more people went to college. There was a huge push for kids going to college. They went to college. Now you have so many people out there with 4-year degrees. So when somebody goes, but I have a 4-year degree, many of these companies are like, so does everybody else. What makes you different? And so, you know, at some point it's going to be, well, I have a master's. Well, so does everybody else. So I love the idea of people having access to school. It's just, is it worth the taxpaying dollar? And will the degree get diluted? I'd almost rather see money going into the trade schools and seeing money go to jobs where people could work right away. Putting money into an education that doesn't get you a job per se, I think would be better spent teaching people trades. Teaching people about, you know, if we're going to be going into solar, let's say, or we're going to be, I don't know, studying marijuana and its medicinal effects, we should have training programs for that. Pay to train people. Paid to train people to administer certain care during COVID or during pandemics. So I think there's a lot we could do with our money. And if you do have millions and millions of dollars, why are you giving it to universities who already overcharge their their students. Now, in the news yesterday, student debt relief has been announced under the Borrower Defense to Repayment Program, and it's a forgiveness program that I guess was originally established by Obama in 2016 to cancel federal student debt for students who were misled, defrauded, or otherwise harmed by predatory colleges and universities. Now, so far, that relief was limited to students who attended for-profit institutions. Now I believe they want to extend it to those who went to state schools. But my answer is what? Why aren't we stopping the predatory behavior of colleges? Now, what sort of predatory behavior is there? Is there, well, you know what? We're going to accept you, but then we're going to crank up the price year two, three, or four, so if you don't like it, tough. I heard that happen in, like, chiropractic schools and many other secondary education schools where, higher education schools where once they got you, they got you. And if you want to continue your degree, you're going to have to pay more money. So that type of stuff caused people to, unfortunately, have to borrow more because you were stuck. You got in and you wanted to still be able to make, make your degree. But I'm looking at the prices of going to school, and it's like, is it really worth that? Now, I understand professors make bank, and I get that you need security. You need beautiful lawns. You need upkeep. But I got to tell you, man, really $60,000 a year for some of these programs? Some of these places don't even have enough parking, and you have to pay for parking. Just doesn't make sense. So I wouldn't reward that by being a government saying, you know what, fine, borrow whatever you need, give the university whatever they want, and then we'll make it up to you on the backside. No. I would rather they say, all right, schools, do what they do with insurance and doctors. You know how insurance companies go, look, doctor, I know you're trying to charge $100, but no. You only get to charge $32. That's all you're going to get. I mean, I don't understand why they're not doing that with college, where, all right, we are going to pay you this amount to cover that child. Like it or lump it. But that's not the way it is. So already they have offered to provide $1 billion in relief. And then there's been the discussion of $10,000 in student loan forgiveness. Now, that's nice. $10,000 in student loan forgiveness is nice. Unfortunately, some people have much higher student loans, like $200,000 to $300,000. But for me, if we're still having, child poverty, if we're still having issues in terms of not enough hospitals and not enough medical centers, I would almost rather see the money, go to underserved communities, because you do have a lot of students that are making, they have money and they're going to college and that's fine, but, that $10,000 isn't going to allow them to eat per se as much as $10,000 could feed, help to feed 10,000 per student. That money could go into communities and help with their food, homeless issues, job placement, training. So I would almost rather the money be more strategized. But students need help. That being said, students need help. $60,000 a year tuitions plus room and board doesn't make any sense to me. It's ridiculous. The 1-877-DOT-LA.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safe.
Hello, I'm a bald person, which means when I walk past a conveniently located Supercuts, it's a harsh, not-so-convenient reminder of the hair I no longer have. And when their friendly stylist tells me I can save time by checking in online, I tell them I saved plenty of time already by not having much hair to cut. So while I might not be able to take full advantage of having amazing, affordable haircuts always close by, you, those with hair, can. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
All right, we are back on Dr. Dahlia's show, 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, the Dr. Dahlia Show. You know, I can't comment on this. There was a quote, there was some back and forth in Alaska with Anthony Blinken, Secretary of State, when he met Chinese officials. And they apparently, China has kind of lashed out as Americans have little faith in U.S. democracy. There was a lot of back and forth. China said that U.S. democracy was teetering and told them to stop lecturing. And the U.S. team responded with criticism of trade, human rights, COVID. They went back and forth. And the U.S. delegation was led by Secretary of State Anthony Blinken. And he spoke out about China's actions in Hong Kong and Tibet. They're handling up the COVID pandemic. And, you know, China told the U.S. that their democratic system was on shaky ground, accused them of attempting to rock established global order. And there was going back and forth. And the media was in Alaska. Alaska is beautiful. I'm a huge fan of Alaska. Seems to be pretty neutral territory. But I spoke to you guys about how our democracy could be in trouble. And I don't want to be pessimistic about things. I usually think that overall we're going to do fine. I don't really think humans are going to become extinct. I think we're going to progress. I think we might have to reevaluate how much control we're going to allow computers to have on our lives and in terms of our security. I can foresee that, you know, we have some pretty bad wars coming up in our future. Not know if it's the immediate future. I believe we're going to have some natural disasters that are going to really shatter a lot of our foundations and our belief in, all right, well, we got this. You know, man could win over nature. So I'm very nervous about that. I'm nervous about certain species becoming extinct as weather changes and as climate changes. I don't think my hamburger is causing that to happen, but, you know, yeah, I do believe that some of our habits could possibly affect nature and ecosystems, which could also inadvertently affect us. But I spoke to us about how our democracy can change. And China may not be all that wrong. Now, we live in a republic. We're in a republic, and we enjoy a governing system of democracy. Now, democracy is where rule is led by the people, as opposed to a monarchy. Now, we technically have a representative democracy, where citizens elect a representative to voice and implement our choices. And we live in one of the greatest republics, allowing us to have this democratic system of government. We have been so, so blessed. But throughout history, there has been many concerns that democracies don't last more than a few hundred years. And when you look back in history, many of them don't. And why? Well, because many democracies fall to a dictatorship. Even in the last 100 years, we saw this happen in Ghana, Iraq, Nazi Germany, North Korea. And so why? Why, if majority rules and everybody wants a democracy, why does somebody, where's the psychology behind that? Why would people vote for a ruler or dictator? In the late 1700s, early 1800s, we spoke about this. Scottish professor Alexander Fraser Tytler was skeptical of any country having a true democracy, feeling people will elect a leader that will turn around and suppress them. He had written, "But those governors once selected, where is the boasted freedom of the people? They must submit to their rule and control with the same abandonment of their natural liberty, the freedom of their will, and the command of their actions as if they were under the rule of the monarch." And he said that 200 years becomes the average lifespan of a democracy. We have exceeded that. But they say the reason why is we have these very common sequences where from bondage we go to spiritual faith. From spiritual faith, we go to great courage. From courage, we go to liberty, which happened to us, right, in the 1700s. From liberty, we go to abundance. From abundance, we go to selfishness. From selfishness, we go to complacency. Now, this is where we're going from. We're going from complacency to apathy, and then from apathy to dependence. Once you start becoming dependent on the government giving us money, because you were kind of apathetic going, you know what, whoever we elect will handle things. We're good. We don't have to be involved. It's on autopilot. Now we're dependent, and then from dependency you go back into bondage. And so the steps don't have to occur in equal spans of time. You know, our courage to fight our liberty happened during the Revolutionary War, War of 1812, and then post-Depression, 20th and 21st century, we have abundance, selfishness, complacency, and all that. But so what ends up happening from the psychology of things is people don't want to wake the sleeping giant. And so they may be like, you know what? All right, well, all right, we're good. We'll give some money to the poor and everything's going to be fine. And they don't realize that there are people that are predators in hiding, or people that have always had been salivating at the chops to become a leader or to become somebody that can overtake. Or what ends up happening is when people get into bondage, they thought they were under democratic rule and realize, wait a second, we just voted in somebody who is hurting us. We're in bondage. And then this leads to faith, unity, and courage to fight back, and hence a revolution. And my prediction is when people get to this point, they will ask for a savior or a dictator. I mean, I heard people talking about President Trump like he was the Messiah. I mean, they loved him. Because they felt bond. They felt like they had no control. You know, we always ask, you know, who's going to be the first to elect a dictator in this country? Is it going to be the Democrats or the Republicans? Hard to say. But I heard people speak, and, it, you know, whether you love Trump or not, the psychology of the voters, when people said, yeah, but, you know, what if he just indiscriminately does whatever? I heard people say, I don't care. I don't care if he becomes a dictator. We need to fix this. So when people feel like their country needs to be fixed, they will surrender their liberty, surrender what is protecting them in order for that person to fix it. Same thing with Democrats. It could happen to any side. So, you know, China may not be wrong. You know, Americans have been complacent when it comes to their careers, infectious disease, law and order. Now, yeah, the cops will be there. And then all of a sudden, they lose their job, they lose their business, they lose their health because of the virus and lockdown. And now they feel that their leaders, who they elected Governor Newsom. They elected these governors, Governor Cuomo. They feel they're not listening. And they're ruling as they wish and we're not elected to do. Those people who lost any family members in the nursing homes in New York that voted for Cuomo didn't vote for that. So, to keep people calm, some leaders will say, look, you know what, we're going to open up the Treasury. According to Titler and Alexis de Tocqueville, another scholar, says democracy will continue to exist up until the time that voters discover that they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates who promise the most benefits for the public treasury, with the result that every democracy will finally collapse due to loose fiscal policy, which is always followed by a dictatorship. So if the money runs out, those who feel they're not truly benefiting from the government will be angry, will be frustrated, and then unfortunately, revolution. So America, I don't believe, is going to fail as a democracy by accident. I think there's going to be a choice, an actual decision by people to say we need somebody to help us, whether it's with the borders, whether it's with, you know, COVID, whether it's money. So be a democracy the way it was truly intended, and leaders should rule by how their constituents want. 1-877-DOT-DOLLY, don't go away.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com. That's soupbeansurvival.com. And discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com. That's soupbeansurvival.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system. And it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.